Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we are back here on Monday Night Talk, and we want to thank Les and Les Gossel, who was on with us just previous. To that was Tom Coulter. And who do we have in studio now?
We have Mr. Joe Sheehan, who is running for state rep. Joe, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Joe?
Good. Good to have you in studio. And why don't you tell us...
get to the tough question. Ask him about the missing plane.
Yeah, that's right. I'm assuming you found the plane.
Lord, I don't know if he'll ever find it. This is bizarre.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone
knows.
That's
the topic of the day, about the missing Malaysian
plane. Oof. It just feels terrible.
I know. It's tough. It's missing. We've been asking everyone on the show so far where they think the plane might be. My personal opinion is I think it's landed somewhere, but that seems to be the minority opinion.
I think it's a movie in the making.
I think so.
I think here's my fear. Until we find that plane, my fear is that it could end up... It's something that size, it's a weapon.
Well, that's what I've said the whole time. That's why I think it's landed. I think they found an opportunity to steal a plane, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see it again. Let's put it that way. Now, moving on to your race, Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what district you're running for, and anything else about you?
Well, my name is Joe Sheehan, and I'm a longtime South Shore resident. People are interested to find out more about me, then go to votesheehan.org. But I grew up in the South Shore. I'm a 28-year-old guy, and I've had an opportunity to serve. I used to work at the State House for many years for a number of different state representatives. And additionally, in the last few years, I've been able to serve in the Massachusetts Army National Guard, proud to serve as an Army leader. And I decided that I was going to run for this office when I came back from some training this past October, and thought it was just a really good opportunity for us to make a lot of changes in the state and really get us back on the right foot.
Sure. Now, the seat you're running for, what is the name of the district, actually? It's the Sixth Plymouth.
Yep.
Which is Duxbury, Pembroke, and Hanson.
And I should have mentioned that.
Yes. No, that's excellent. So I would say, from the last race, which was against, which we had... Mr. Representative Cutler now represents that district. It's a very considered a fairly conservative district, and you're obviously running as a Republican in that district.
Right. And communities that I've known my entire life, and you know, I know what the people in the district feel. I know where they come down on the issues, and the opportunity is really there for us to send someone who's going to represent the kind of reforms that the people in this district want to see.
Sure. Now, what are some of the... You just had an event the other night. What are some of the issues that are that you want to kind of maybe focus on or have heard from people in that district or from around the South Shore that are things that you would focus on should you get elected?
You know, there are a lot of different issues. One of the issues that came up the other night during my kickoff, I was lucky to have a lot of local elected officials in Pembroke, particularly, that were by there. And my good friend Patrick Chilcott, who's the chairman of the school committee there, you know, he expressed a lot of frustration with the level of local aid that's been cutting back in terms of a lot, and then our Chapter 70 funding as well. Chapter 70 formula, which funds our local schools, disproportionately hurts a lot of our suburban communities, such as Pembroke, Hanson, Duxbury. And that's one thing that I think we need to look at. I think we can do that in a bipartisan way. We can put together a coalition of suburban representatives from all over the aisle who can really step up and try to make a difference on that issue. Just how we see school funding going right now, it doesn't really work. We're putting a lot of money into some school districts that just we're not getting any return on them. And meanwhile, our town districts, such as Pembroke, Hanson, Duxbury, they're really hurting right now. And they're trying to do more with less. And every year it's more with less. And, you know, I think that's one of the things we need to start to look at, figuring out how to make a formula that's fair for them.
Sure. Now, when you worked up at the State House, you were a legislative aide, you said?
I was, yep.
Were you for a representative or for a senator?
For a representative. I was able to work for State Representative Paul Escoco from the Holliston area, and then another state rep, Paul Adams from the Merrimack Valley.
So you've worked in the basically the House side of things for a while.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kevin, you have any questions?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, just I thought you were looking at me.
No,
I figured.
No, Tony, you're doing a good job.
What, you know, one of the issues that we actually talked about earlier with Representative Coulter when he was in here is the drug epidemic that has really hit the entire South Shore. It's been on the front pages of many of the papers recently. Kind of what are some of the things you'd like to see, maybe specifically, as we were talking earlier, the school districts do, or maybe even local law enforcement, to address some of those issues, or just the towns in general, to kind of help subside some of the horrible heroin and opiate addictions that we've seen?
I just think I've seen what these drugs do to people. I've seen what they do to families. I've seen just families ripped apart. I've seen it, people close to my own life, just terrible, terrible things. And I think the opportunity is for us to really teach and educate that a lot of these harder drugs are really very dangerous, and they can't be even, just children, students, teenagers need to stay as far away from them as possible. Once people get caught in the cycle of these drugs, it's terrible. I've seen what it does, and terrible stuff.
Sure. Now, you said that you were a member of the National Guard. Have you been deployed and served overseas?
Right. I'm not a veteran, so always be careful. I'm always careful to mention that.
Oh, okay.
I have a great amount of respect for all of those who have served overseas.
Sure.
I haven't had the opportunity to do so myself, but most of my, I've been, the past couple of years, I've been almost in training for almost two straight years. And the opportunities I've had to serve are mostly on the state basis. We were activated for a couple winter storms, that sort of thing.
Sure.
So we were actually down here in the South Shore, and was proud to be part of that process.
Oh, sure. Last year and some of the major storms that we had down here. Kevin.
I guess I want to ask you, talk to me about, I want to kind of see what you're hearing from the district. What are you hearing from the folks in the district as you're walking around and telling them that you're campaigning for the seat? What are you hearing?
I think people, I think local aid is the big thing that I've been hearing from a lot of local elected officials, and there's a lot of frustration there. And I think there's a real sense that there's an opportunity here for us to make these reforms that we need to make in areas such as healthcare with the healthcare connector that with people getting kicked off their insurance, with things like the Department of Children and Families with missing kids. A lot of things, there are scandals. They get all of us very angry, but this is really an opportunity for us to get it right. And that people really, they've been expressing to me, Kevin, that they're ready for something new. They're really ready for a different direction. And so this is a really great opportunity for us to send someone up on Beacon Hill who's going to work towards that reform, who's going to speak up and really try to get the ball rolling on a lot of this stuff.
Sure. Now, one of the major issues that we had really at the end of towards the end of last year was the welfare reform in Massachusetts.
EBT
and some of the other major in what to do about the cards and the abuse,
having photo ID on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where do you fall on that issue? Do you support a lot of the changes that are being made, or what would you do kind of differently that maybe hasn't been done yet?
You know, I think I'm glad you brought it up, Joe, because it's a really great example of how sometimes even just a lone voice, someone like Sean O'Connell getting up there and saying, pointing out all of these abuses and going through the state budget, going through all of these different anecdotes and doing the research to sort of present a case of why we need reform. She just a small, just one freshman member of a very small minority, being very vocal and being out there. She was able to really cause a conversation in the state and really get reform that was passed in a bipartisan manner. I think in some ways that bipartisan reform is really a very good step. I don't think it really quite went far enough. There are some specifics, I guess, I'd have to, I think that there were some ways in which it's still not clear whether or not it's going to be implemented to the way that it probably could be. We had balances on some of these EBT cards, like $15,000 on them or something crazy like that.
It's like a savings account.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that's one of the things with welfare reform. Yeah, it did, there's still room for us to improve. And so there's an opportunity there to still continue that reform, continue that movement in the positive direction. Someone like Sean O'Connell is really an inspiration for someone like me to get involved in the minority party up on Beacon Hill to really make a difference. So,
sure. Another issue that is kind of pending right now for all of the South Shore and really all of the state is some of our and I think about it every time I travel on Route 3, our crumbling infrastructure, both on state roads and on the kind of the town roads. MBTA issues, which really affect all of us on the South Shore as we talk about, you know, the Greenbush line and some of these other lines, the Old Colony line, that are shutting down weekend service and not being as active as they probably could be. What is your... You know, what do you think about some of those pieces, you know, kind of what maybe you would try to do to change either the funding for local roads? There's also the issue of open road tolling that is definitely coming to the state within the next, I would say, 5 to 10 years. What is kind of some of the issues like that that you would... You know, how you feel on some of those or your stances?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that as well, Joe. So I had my kickoff. I had a really great event on Saturday night. I was joined by a lot of friends and family at that event. But prior to my kickoff, I hit a flat tire. I hit a pothole, lost a tire. So I roll into my own kickoff on three wheels. My car looked, it was in sorry condition and everything. I know a lot of people out there are having the same issues with the roads that really took a beating this past year. So... I think one of the ways with in terms of how state government can jump in, the governor for a while and still I think is in some ways has been blocking, hasn't released the Chapter 90 funding, which is a lot of the local road funding that a lot of cities and towns get. So the governor just needs to do that. You need to release that that money so that the cities and towns can start to make those repairs and then also just whatever investments they're going to be making. As far as other transportation issues go, that is a really great opportunity for us to get some reform there as well. Currently, right now, we're really relying on our commuters, and I come from a commuter area, to basically pay for a T system that we're unwilling to reform. And so registry fees just went up in a very significant way for all of those people. And we're basically footing the bill for the T and the spending the T. They're unwilling to touch it.
Sure, because I guess the increase in the registry funds is actually going to help support late night T service, which was just announced last week.
I thought the increase is like T registration, which is going to jump up by $10.
Yeah.
That was to close a $53 million gap in the budget. That's what I thought it was.
I'm sure. I had also heard that, you know, there are some pieces of this reform going towards...
Right. Plus your inspection sticker will jump up $6 from $29 to $35.
Sure. So you're right. Those are all related to the commuter piece.
Mm-hmm.
And what is, you know, I mean, late night T service is great. It's something that I think Boston has been missing out on. But again, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, what you think at the state level can be done to reel in some of the exorbitant costs that are being attributed to not just the T, but to our bridges and roads and tunnels, specifically the Big Dig and the Boston system that has kind of dragged our MBTA debt so far down.
Right, and I know there's been a number of different candidates that have talked about, there's other areas with a lot of our bigger road projects, bridges, that sort of thing, with project labor agreements. I think there's something we could take a look there and see what reforms we might be able to make in terms of realizing some more savings there. I'd have to learn more about that in order before I was able to say something
Sure.
one way or another. But the T definitely still represents a great opportunity for us to rein in some costs. And I mean, I think with a lot of the, we saw recently this train operator who was kicked off the job and just somehow ended up back on the job.
Yes, I saw that.
And it's just that doesn't show a management that really has a grasp on what it's really up against and that just doesn't really seem to have an interest in trying to make a difference in terms of customer satisfaction and everything like that. So,
what do you stand on the gas tax? I know that's kind of a bone of contention with many Republicans who are in office and those who are seeking office. And the big thing is how it's linked to CPI, how it will continuously go up without it having to be voted on. Give me your thoughts on that.
chaining the gas tax to CPI is basically like trying to automate legislating.
Yeah.
And if legislators want, and such as my opponent, he was one of the people that voted for it ultimately, you know, if they want to vote for gas taxes every year, they should come to the voters and say they're going to vote for gas taxes every year. And there's, you know, there's a lot more honor and respect to that than trying to basically sneak in every year a half penny more, a penny more. And I'm very much against the CPI index. So that's just point one. We need to just get rid of the CPI index. I just don't think that that's a fair way of taxation. I don't think it's a very fair way of representation as far as that's taxation without representation, in effect, really, if you think about it, because we're just putting it into the future. So that's one thing that I would be working against immediately. The other parts of the gas tax, you know, that's I'm never happy with any tax increase. I'm a pretty conservative guy when it comes to taxation, but certainly chaining it to CPI is something we need to just repeal, and that's something I would work to start doing on day one.
Sure. Now, should you get elected, and you get up to Beacon Hill, you will be in a minority house. It's the same with the state senate, and same with the house. What do you think some of your challenges are going to be being part of a minority party? I know the South Shore is traditionally more conservative than, say, some other parts of the state, but even still, you're going to be at the State House with all of them, all the representatives. How do you feel you can address some of those challenges?
You know, as a minority member of the State House, and you figure someone like that would know, they might not have much power. Well, in fact, a lot of those minority members end up being the ranking member on a major committee. And so they have a really big voice in what goes on in terms of the legislation and the things that get brought up before that committee. So that would be an opportunity that I would have as a Republican to do almost on day one as just being in the minority. And what I've found is that just generally, those in the minority party actually tend to have a little bit more clout than those who are, you know, of the Democrats. If you're number 133 of, you know, of the 130 reps that they have, your needs don't go to the top of their list. And so as a Republican, one, you can raise a little ruckus and generally get a little, you can get some action there. But two, you can be a ranking member and you can have at least a seat at the table. And you can be on conference committees. You can be one of the members on a conference committee to really make a big difference on major legislation. So it's a very interesting that it's an interesting way of looking at it. But in terms of how the State House operates and what I've seen over the years, in fact, if you elect a Republican sometimes in the minority party in this state, you might actually be getting better representation than you would be if with a Democratic member who's just at the very bottom of the heap, of a very big heap, and they're not going to get their concerns voiced.
Overall, how has the campaign gone so far?
It's been going great. It's very early, so it's been, yeah, I just kicked off on Saturday, and I decided to run late last year, so I've been busy with work and school and a lot of other things, but the feedback's been great. I've been lucky to have had some great response and support from my friends, family, neighbors, and I've been very encouraged by it, and very excited, and looking forward to November.
And it is a very long election cycle starting now. And have you actually? A great question would be: have you had any Republican? Are you going to have a primary? Is there anybody else running?
You know, there was the potential for a primary, and
there was a rumor. That rumor dissipated.
The rumor dissipated, so it looks like for now I will be the Republican nominee in September without any challenge. If someone steps forward, then that could happen. There's still a little bit of time for someone to do that, but it looks like I'll be probably the Republican nominee without any question in September.
Now, you know, one of the debates has always been within the Republican Party how much focus the state party puts on state rep seats. I know You know, over the years, they've tried to, especially a year now where you have a major gubernatorial election where you have a governor leaving, you have the opportunity for an open seat. And on the Republican side, you have Charlie Baker and Karen Polito running. How do you think that that's going to affect how much support you get, or are you looking for any support or expecting any support from the state party?
You know, I'm one of those people that really understands that we all have our own race to run. And Charlie Baker and Karen Polito, who are going to make a great governing team if they're elected, you know, they have their own race to run. And so they're going to drive their resources, their funds, whatever, to their race. And I have to do what I can with mine. And I've been lucky to have some great support in the district so far. And, you know, so there'll be people who will support Charlie and Karen. There might be people who support, you know, Martha Coakley or whoever who support me as well. So we've all got our own race to run. And, you know, I understand that, you know, I think that historically the Republican Party's put a lot of its weight on the top of the ticket and has neglected putting together, trying to help its down ballot races and trying to create a bench for the party. I think it's learned its lesson there, but we all have our own race to run, so.
Sure. I got to throw it out. Give me your thoughts on education. What are some of the things that you'd be willing to, again, if you're selected in November, tell me where you stand on education and some of the things that you'd like to see put forth for as far as initiatives to improve our children's education.
One of the things with education that I've heard a lot from is, and I know we had a chance to speak about it a few months ago, is the unfunded mandates that our state is putting on a lot of these school districts. And it's really making it very difficult for these school districts to manage effectively their budgets. And where they're having to deal with less in terms of the Chapter 70 money that they're getting back from the state, and they're being told with that money what they can do with it. And so I'm a kind of guy who just thinks that the government closest to people is the government that is the most responsive, that's the best able to represent the people. And I think as much as we can, we need to allow for local boards to have local control and to basically manage their destiny. And we can't do that with unfunded mandates and trying to tell them how to run their schools.
Haha, you stepped into my trap.
Uh-oh.
Kevin.
I'm kidding. Well, no, you just kind of just triggered a question in my head, and that is, one of the things that I every so often when we have a candidate on the South Shore come in here, I like to ask them where do they stand on county government. It has been a long-standing conversation that it's the Plymouth County does not have a charter, and that there's, you know, all this work has been done to put forth a charter study, and it's kind of lingering. Give me your thoughts on county government.
And we have had a chance to speak about this, and I want to learn more about county government, because what we have in Massachusetts is just this ugly hybrid where some counties have county government and some counties don't, and we need to figure out what the best way forward is. I have a lot of the government closest to the people is the government that I feel is the most responsive.
It was that statement that you made that made me to trigger the question. So.
Right. And, you know, I at the end of the day, I always say that. And I have a great deal of respect and admiration for the county office holders we have in this county, who I think have done a good job and have been helpful in terms of, you know, making a case for county government. But trying to figure out whether or not we have county government or not, I think that's a decision that just the state needs to make. Middlesex County doesn't have county government, and Plymouth County does. I'm reluctant to give control to the state for a lot of our local offices, and that's where I stand right now. So we have to figure out where we are as a state, and I think it should be fairly uniform. But
well, there are a lot. Also, some the new county commissioners have done a lot to initiate a lot of regional pieces too. I don't know if you have, you know, looked into some of the stuff that we had them on a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about some trash collection initiatives and some stuff. Do you find overall that there should, assuming that county government will stay around, the value and possibly regionalization with a lot of resources for and bringing them to a county level?
I think there's a lot of opportunity for regionalization. And again, regionalization is another thing that we have this kind of interesting hybrid where sometimes a lot of the we have regionalization efforts and then they end up, the towns want to run their own.
Yeah, they don't want to lose their autonomy.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Right. And so, you know, that's the question. I think a lot of towns can probably realize a lot of savings by regionalizing some of their aspects of, you know, we've seen it with emergency response, dispatching, that sort of thing. That's something that a lot of towns could save a lot of money from. Looking forward to learning more on the campaign about that issue and ways in which we can save money in the state.
Sure. And we're speaking with Joe Sheehan. He is running for state representative in the 6th Plymouth District. Is there anything that we haven't asked you that you feel is an issue that you want to speak to?
You really put me on the spot there, Kevin.
I know it's kind of a, you know, usually a candidate
has
something that's kind of a favorite issue or an issue that they like speaking to.
You know, I think we really just went over a lot of different issues here.
Sure.
You know, the opportunity is really, it's reform, and I'm excited to be part of a reform team when I get up there. There's so many different ways in which we can reform. There's so many different ways we've been disappointed in state government as of late, and we could shake our heads and we can slam our fists on the table and get mad. And some days I want to do that, but this is got to be kind of take a happy warrior approach and kind of do what we can to get our state back on the right track.
Now you've got, at least in your district, you have a governor, you have a Republican, a slew of Republican congressmen are running that will eventually be down to one. You've got a state Senate race that is wide open, that a very strong Republican is running in. How do you think that all of that will affect your race in particular? Do you think that it helps you that you have a strong slate, what I would consider, based on past history, strong slate of Republicans running right in your district as well?
Right. A rising tide lifts all boats. And, you know, I think a lot of the efforts that we're going to be making together over the next few months, it's, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of the same issues in a lot of cases. And, you know, if we're able to make that case of reform to the voters, I think that we're going to see success for a lot of those different candidates. So I'm happy to be running alongside a lot of those candidates. And I recognize, again, we all have our own races, but I think it well positions my campaign to do very well in November, that we have a very active party line going on right now.
Has your opponent recognized you yet, do you know?
You know, and again, it's no offense to Representative Coulter. Cutler, I was just listening to Rep. Coulter, and it's no offense to him that my candidacy. I see this as an opportunity for us to really make the reforms, and I don't really see that reform coming from him at this time. And a lot of his votes that he's taken have, I think, hurt families and hurt small businesses. And I just want to be part of something different. You know, he's been very friendly with me, and I have nothing against the guy. I just think it's an opportunity for us to do something different. So yeah, he's been very, very respectful. Look forward to running a very respectful campaign, and that's what I'll be doing as well.
Right. Any events coming up within the next? I know you just had your kickoff this past weekend. Are you looking forward? Because it is, you know, in Massachusetts, we have a very, I would consider it an odd type of election cycle where you have a primary that is so, I know you don't have, there's really no primary in your district, but really it's that September primary day, the day after is when campaigns kind of lift off in this state. And we have a very intense 2 months. What are you going to do maybe between now and then, within the next couple weeks, months, in your campaign? Are you just going to kind of build your team in the meantime?
Building my team right now. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking to the voters, getting out on the doors, and meeting the folks of the district, people I've grown up with my entire life. And that's it right now. I just finished my first event, so I'm not really thinking about the next event. There's a lot of work that goes into putting these things on. So
sure,
that'll be coming soon enough. I'll be looking forward to coming back on here and talking to you guys. A lot of opportunities to really speak to the people of the district and hear back from people. And again, they can go to votesheehan.org if they want to contact me directly and ask any questions. So I'm always willing to answer any questions. So.
Awesome.
If you want to wrap up the segment, Joe, you can do that.
Okay, good. I didn't know you were looking at me. I was like, oh, Kevin's actually got another question.
No. I'm
all set. Well, okay. Well, before we go, how can you just mentioned, you know, that you want people to contact you. Website again.
VoteSheehan.org.
Awesome. Great. Well, thanks for coming on, Joe. And we look forward to having you on again and also an eventual debate that will most likely happen here on WATD as we get into it in the fall.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Kevin.
You got it.
All right. We're going to take a break right now, and we will be right back with some more Monday Night Talk. Don't go away.